7. Dennison opened the door by hand. There was a contact that would have opened it automatically, but in the blur of waking he could not find it. The dark-haired man, with a face that was somehow scowling in repose, said, "I'm sorry. Am I early?" Dennison repeated the last word to give him time to absorb matters. "Early? No, I'm late, I think." "I called. We made an appointment." And now Dennison had it. "Yes, you're Dr. Neville." "That's right. May I come in?" He stepped in as he asked. Dennison's room was small and held a rumpled bed that took up most of the available space. The ventilator was sighing softly. Neville said with meaningless courtesy, "Slept well, I hope?" Dennison looked down at his pajamas and passed his hand over his rumpled hair. "No," he said abruptly, "I had an abominable night. May I be excused long enough to make myself more presentable?" "Of course. Would you like to have me prepare breakfast meanwhile? You may be unacquainted with the equipment."
"It would be a favor," said Dennison.
He emerged some 20 minutes later, washed and shaved, wearing trousers and an undershirt. He said, "I trust I didn't break the shower. It went off, and I couldn't turn it on again." "The water's rationed. You only get so much." "This is the moon, doctor." "I've taken the liberty of preparing scrambled eggs and hot soup for the two of us."
"Scrambled?"
"We call it that. Earthmen wouldn't, I suppose." Dennison said, "Oh." He sat down with something less than enthusiasm and tasted the pasty yellow mixture that clearly was what the other meant by scrambled eggs. He tried not to make a face at the first taste, and then manfully swallowed it and dug in for a second forkful.
"You'll get used to it with time," said Neville, "and it's highly nourishing. I might warn you that the high protein content and the low gravity will cut your need for food."
"Just as well," said Dennison, clearing his throat. Neville said, "Celery tells me that you intend to stay on the moon." Dennison said, "That was my intention." He rubbed his eyes. "I've had a terrible night, though. It tests my resolution."
"How many times did you fall out of bed?"
"Twice. I take it that the situation is a common one."
"For men of Earth, an invariable one. Awake, you can make yourself walk with due regard for the moon's gravity. Asleep, you toss as you would on Earth. But at least falling is not painful at low gravity."
"The second time, I slept on the floor a while before waking. Didn't remember falling."
"What the hell do you do about it?"
"You mustn't neglect your periodic checks on heartbeat, blood pressure, and so on, just to make sure the gravity change isn't introducing too much of a strain."
"I've been amply warned of that," said Dennison with distaste. "In fact, I have fixed appointments for the next month, and pills."
"Well," said Nettle, as if dismissing a triviality, "within a week you'll probably have no trouble at all, and you'll need proper clothing. Those trousers will never do, and that flimsy upper garment serves no purpose."
"I presume there's some place I can buy clothes."
"Of course. If you can get her when she's off duty, Selene will be glad to help you, I'm sure. She assures me you're a decent sort, doctor."
"I'm delighted she thinks so."
Dennison, having swallowed a spoonful of the soup, looked at it as though he were wondering what to do with the rest. Grimly, he continued the task of downing it. "She judged you to be a physicist, but of course she's wrong."
"I was trained as a radiochemist."
"You haven't worked at that either for a long time, doctor. We may be out of it up here, but we're not that far out of it. You're one of Hallam's victims."
"Are there so many? You speak of them as a group."
"Why not? The whole moon is one of Hallam's victims."
"The moon?"
"In a manner of speaking."
"I don't understand."
"We have no electron pump stations on the moon. None have been established because there has been no cooperation from the para-universe. No samples of tungsten have been accepted."
"Surely, Dr. Neville, you don't intend to imply that this is Hallam's doing?"
"In a negative way, yes.
Why must it be only the para-universe which can initiate a pump station? Why not ourselves?
As far as I know, we lack the knowledge to take the initiative.
And we will continue to lack the knowledge if research into the matter is forbidden.
Is it forbidden? Dennison asked with a faint note of surprise.
In effect, if none of the work necessary to expand knowledge in that direction finds adequate priorities at the proton synchrotron, or at any of the other large equipment, all controlled by Earth, and all under the influence of Hallam, then the research is effectively forbidden.
Dennison rubbed his eyes.
I suspect I will have to sleep again before long. I beg your pardon. I did not mean to imply you were boring me. But tell me, is the electron pump so important to the moon? Surely the solar batteries are effective and sufficient.
They tie us to the sun, Doctor. They tie us to the surface.
Well, but why does Hallam take this adverse interest in the matter, do you suppose, Dr. Neville?
You know better than I, if you know him personally, as I do not.
He prefers not to make it clear to the public generally that the entire electron pump establishment is the product of the paramen, with ourselves merely servants of the masters. And if, on the moon, we advance to the point where we ourselves know what we are doing, then the birth of the true electron pump technology will date from our moment, not from his.
Dennison said, "Why do you tell me all this?"
"To avoid wasting my time. Ordinarily, we welcome physicists from Earth. We feel cut off here on the moon, victims of deliberate terrestrial policy against us. And a physicist visitor can be helpful, even if only to give us a feeling of lesser isolation. A physicist immigrant is even more helpful, and we like to explain the situation to him and encourage him to work with us. I am sorry that you are not, after all, a physicist."
Dennison said impatiently, "But I never said I was."
"And yet you asked to see the synchrotron. Why?"
"Is that really what's bothering you? My dear sir, let me try to explain. My scientific career was ruined half a lifetime ago. I have decided to seek some sort of rehabilitation, some sort of renewed meaning to my life as far away from Hallam as I could get, which means here on the moon. I was trained as a radiochemist, but that has not permanently paralyzed me as far as any other field of endeavor is concerned. Paraphysics is the great field of today, and I have done my best to self-educate myself there, feeling that this will offer me my best hope for rehabilitation."
Neville nodded. "I see," he said with clear dubiousness. "By the way, since you mentioned the electron pump, have you heard anything about the theories of Peter Lamont?"
Neville eyed the other narrowly.
"No, I don't think I know the man."
"Yes, he is not yet famous, and probably never will be, chiefly for the same reason I'll never be. He crossed Hallam. His name came up recently, and I've been giving him some thought. It was one way of occupying the sleepless portion of last night." And he yawned.
Neville said impatiently, "Yes, Doctor? What of this man? What is his name?"
"Peter Lamont. He has some interesting thoughts on paratheory. He believes that with continued use of the pump, the strong nuclear interaction will grow basically more intense in the space of the solar system, and that the sun will slowly heat up and, at some crucial point, undergo a phase change that will produce an explosion."
"Nonsense! Do you know the amount of change produced on a cosmic scale of any use of the pump on a human scale? Even granted that you are only self-educated in physics, you ought to have no difficulty in seeing that the pump can't possibly make any appreciable change in general universal conditions during the lifetime of the solar system."
"You think so?"
"Of course. Don't you?" said Neville.
"I'm not sure. Lamont's grinding a personal axe. I've met him briefly, and he impressed me as an intense and very emotional fellow. Considering what Hallam has done to him, he is probably driven by overwhelming anger."
Neville frowned. He said, "Are you sure he is on the outs with Hallam?" I'm an expert on the subject. It doesn't occur to you that the initiation of that kind of doubt, that the pump is dangerous, might be used as but another device to keep the moon from developing stations of its own? At the cost of creating universal alarm and despondency? Of course not. That would be cracking walnuts with nuclear explosions. No, I'm sure Lamont is sincere. In fact, in my own bumbling way, I had similar notions once. Because you, too, are driven by hate for Hallam. I'm not Lamont. I imagine I don't react the same way he does. In fact, I had some dim hope I would be able to investigate the matter on the moon without Hallam's interference and without Lamont's emotionalism. Here on the moon? Here on the moon. I thought perhaps I might get the use of the synchrotron. And that was your interest in it. Dennison nodded. Neville said, You really think you will get the use of the synchrotron? Do you know how far back the requisitions have piled up? I thought perhaps I might get the cooperation of some of the lunar scientists. Neville laughed and shook his head. We have almost as little chance as you. However, I'll tell you what we can do. We have established laboratories of our own. We can give you space. We might even have some minor instrumentation for you. How useful our facilities would be to you, I can't say, but you might be able to do something. Do you suppose I would have any means there of making observations useful to paratheory? It would depend partly on your ingenuity, I suppose. Do you expect to prove the theories of this man, Lamont? Or disprove them, perhaps? You'll disprove them, if anything at all. I have no fears about that. Dennison said, It's quite clear, isn't it, that I'm not a physicist by training? Why do you so readily offer me working space? Because you're from Earth. I told you that we value that, and perhaps your self-education as a physicist will be of additional value. Selene vouches for you, something I attach more importance to than I should, perhaps. And we are fellow sufferers at the hands of Hallam. If you wish to rehabilitate yourself, we will help you. But pardon me if I am cynical. What do you expect to get out of it? Your help. There is a certain amount of misunderstanding between the scientists of the Earth and the Moon. You are a man of Earth who has come voluntarily to the Moon, and you could act as a bridge between us to the benefit of both. You have already had contact with the new commissioner, and it may be possible that, as you rehabilitate yourself, you will rehabilitate us as well. You mean that if what I do weakens Hallam's influence, that will benefit lunar science as well? Whatever you do is sure to be useful. But perhaps I ought to leave you to catch up with your sleep. Call on me during the next couple of days, and I will see about placing you in the laboratory. And, he looked about, getting you somewhat more comfortable quarters as well. They shook hands, and Neville left.